And I guess I floated across one end of the hospital to the other end with the other homie who got cut.
Yeah.
And was just like, what happened? Who did this? Where can I go right now? And every nurse in there, I guess you guys had such a large group of people that had come in with you that were concerned about you, that they wanted to know you pulled through, that the nurses and stuff were like, who's this weirdo on his own, darting from room to room, asking questions.
So, you don't look like he with the feds.
No, definitely not with that. So yeah, so that was my end of it. And what happened during that whole...
Man, I mean, it happens eventually, man. If you do enough dirt, there is no avoiding what's coming your way, man, no matter what. And you never know when it's going to catch you, man. And I mean, I prided myself on never slipping. But man, when you do slip after not slipping for so long, it's going to be a real big one, man. So you better prepare your ass for it.
So I'm not saying let's, you know, you and me touch on the surface of I have flatlined. I mean, what happened for you that night when I got a text in the morning saying you got poked and nobody knew who did it.
Yeah. Man, I mean, that was a real that show that night, man. I mean, that was Double R. That was Foe. That was Gorilla, man. That was our first time with Gorilla on stage, man. And we just shut the motherfucker down. And we was we did our pre-gig thing here at my pad like we usually do and shit, right? But it was different that night. I mean, me and Foe ain't got that lit before a show in probably 5 years. You know, the last time we got that lit was the night that we were like, hey, we shouldn't get this lit anymore. But yo, it was like, man, Gorilla was on board. We was like, yeah, man, we rocking the trio hard tonight. And I probably had, man, shit. You see all the bottles. I had at least 10 of these bottles in full effect that night. And I was infusing drinks. I had teas going.
I'm feeling the Ciroc coconut.
Yeah, man, the fuck. We just had it going, man. I was making the craziest drinks. We had at least 10 before we left the pad, you know. And I don't make no soft shit. You know I don't make no fucking soft shit, man. When I say tea, it don't mean like, oh, you niggas in here sipping tea. Nah, man. Nah, like real high fucking frequency liquor. So, yeah, man, we keep it a mad lit. We get downtown. We mop through the telly and shit. Mop through soundtrack. Mad brews in us and shit. Then we mop through the telly. I take a bottle of pain to the face. And, then we mob.
That bottle. Wait, before you mob, you stashed that bottle.
Right, yeah, then. I did actually buy that bottle. That I was like, yo, I finished that bottle of pain, went and grabbed the fucking 2-6 of this Boodles gin, stashed it at the homie's hotel.
Not to interrupt, but I'll get a picture of it and show you guys after. But
word life. But anyway, so we mob. We mob from the hotel to do this show and shit. Me and Fo posted it at the fucking, at the sushi spot, man, at the round table. Man, the round table for like 10 motherfuckers, but it's just me and Foe there working the phones. Working the phones, man, before this show. And then we get into the gig,
you guys,
man.
Open for it?
What's that?
You guys open for it?
That was Crazy Bone, man, which is crazy, man. I mean, I don't even remember dude performing, man, because I was already out of there, man, which is the only time that has happened. It was just all around a weird night, because usually I stick around, man, especially for someone like Crazy Bone,
yeah,
who's been the nigga. But
that's another one you tried to put me onto as a young
kid. I did, yeah, man. And yo, running with the anchor boys, having fucking huge heavy.
I just shook my head and was like, I don't understand the voice.
And I was like, yo, thug mentality.
I got older,
yeah.
And I learned that melody behind that flow, that's what, oh, if you can do it, that's all you should do. Anyways, Bone Thugs.
So, yeah, so we open it up, man, and it's like, man, we were so lit for this show. I mean, I have not been this lit in like 5 years performing, and to me it felt super sloppy, but it felt super dope. And I mean, it was only good feedback from the folks. I mean, if everybody's in there lit, you might as well be in there lit, I guess, right? So yeah. And I mob about the bitch. I mean, I'm skipping hella shit, but yo, man, I mob about the bitch and grab another bottle of pain. Take that bottle of pain to the face. And it's like, you know, I done had so many drinks. I don't even know how many drinks I had in the motherfucker, man. All I know is I made a phone call to my girl. The last phone call that I talked to my girl was like, she called me. And she told me this. I don't personally remember this, but she's like, yeah, I talked to you, and you just yelled, NVIP, can't hear you, dancing on tables, bottles, and hung up the phone. And yeah, that was the last time I talked to her. So yeah, I mob about the piece, and
that's like your wifey.
Yeah, it's wifey, man, holding it down, man, 9 years plus strong like a motherfucker.
So you say what you want about, you know, the amount of time you've been with the girl. It's when you're down. It's like when you get pinched and when you're in the hospital. Those are the two times you know who's down for you. And yeah, dude, that's the wifey.
most step. That's all they say, man. She was on your side
the whole time.
Yeah, that's all they say.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So yeah, and I'm all about the club on a mission for more bottles, man. So what else am I gonna do other than go to the telly and cop this bottle of gin a nigga got stashed away, because it's past fucking 11, right? Ain't no liquor out there other than this motherfucking bottle of gin. And, man, I just ain't make it, bruh. Got caught slipping real tough. And, I called 3 people, when it happened. And none of them was 911. I called, I think the first person I called was Foe, man.
I heard about that one.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Shit, I got stabbed.
Nah, it was not. Nah, I called my nigga, man. I said, me and JD just got shanked up something decent.
That's exactly what it was.
And he said, what? And I said, nigga decent. And I hung up. I hung up the phone.
Yeah, that's rare.
Yeah, and then I called Kylan. Nigga ain't pick up. I don't know what happened. Somebody, maybe he picked up, but I didn't hear him. Any who. The shit ain't work out. Called YTD, his shit ain't popping off. And it was like, man, I just fucking basically just sat down on the curb, man, and against this pole and waited to fucking die, man. Just bled the fuck out, bruh. And woke up in a hospital like 9 days later. I probably didn't realize to wake up till about 10 days later, though, with all that shit. They had a nigga on.
So I was in there like day one. You stayed out 8 more days before you woke up.
Yeah, man, it was a heavy 9.
I remember hearing some of the, like, you passed while you were out.
3 times.
And so you're back, actually, from flatlining.
Yeah, man, I mean, my girl had to say goodbye to a nigga, man, and I can't even imagine that shit. Like, I don't know. I feel I know me pretty well, and I feel like if I was put in a position where I had to say goodbye, I'd be like, well, damn, this feels a little premature.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, though, right?
But I'm back! In full effect, though. Man, these beats is knocking, man. Man, we coming with it, man. Filthy Clean Pros, bro. Man, you already know, man. We coming. Man, you might not know, but you're gonna know real soon. Yeah, tracks.
So I've known you as you were the little homie, but then you got into writing, and I've known you as like an actual hardcore lyricist / writer. You will go in and just write for hours, and I mean gigabytes worth of bars, 16, just 16s after 16s, and then you hit enter twice and you wrote out 16, hit enter twice, wrote out 16. That's 6 gigabytes on each file times 4 files. And you call that shit the mad raps.
Yeah, man. Mad raps. It was 6. It was like, I stopped at 6. Because 6 was when I finally got that Mac computer, man. I mean, my cousin came from,
Wait. You do this thing where, like, you, you're too humble. You say that the things you wrote are, they're like something you wrote and then you got into rap. Those things you wrote, I've heard you spit them. I've heard them, that you have 16s. Those are 16s all day long.
Yeah.
You could throw verses on the tracks, or you could make your own tracks with 3 verses on them. Like, you have the material for it. You just got into the production, and you started taking it seriously. Now you're doing, like, professional-level production, and you still have that, like, that raw material. You could put out, if you really think about it, you could put out album after album for God knows how long without having to pick up a pen and write down a word.
Yeah, but the thing there is, you can't put out an album a cappella. I need them beats. And I mean, I'm at a level, when I started making beats, it was because I couldn't afford to buy beats. I was like, man, I have to make this shit myself. I can invest 2 G's in the setup to make some beats rather than, you know, what's 2 G's gonna get me in beats? It's gonna get me like 8 fucking beats, and then where am I at? I got half a fucking album, so I might as well invest the shit in myself. And that's what I did, and I feel real good right now, man. I mean, I feel like my beats is on point, man. I got my own sound right now. I got well, like, written, well over 60 albums of written shit. But if you bring it down from that, it's like I got 40 albums worth of material that I could release tomorrow. But because I'm a realist and I'm all about quality control on their motherfucking ass, I might have one album to release for you tomorrow. But even at that, I'm still producing for that motherfucker, because that motherfucker is the one motherfucker that's gonna put me over the edge.
I definitely respect that.
Yeah, and that's when I'm in the game. It's like, you know, your first album is the album you work your whole life for, and it's one thing if you just, no disrespect, but if you just a rapper, but I mean, when you start out as a rapper and you're like, hey, if I really wanna make this shit pop, I either gotta have the money to buy beats or I have to make the beats myself. And when you finally get to the point where you feel your beats or where your lyrics is at, that's a big jump for a nigga.
The Stewie.
Yo, man, we're just really doing what makes us feel good. That's all anybody can really do, man. Do what makes you feel good. Because doing what makes other people feel good, man, I mean, yeah, sure, that's cool. You got to pay it forward, right? But, man, end of the day, feel good, man. Do what you need to do.
Sitting here with the feel good and feel better.
Yeah, smoking on that feel good, sipping on that feel better, bro.
What are you puffing on? I'm drinking that Ciroc right now. Coconut.
Man, I don't know. You put this organic shit in my shit. You was like, yo, organic.
Oh.
It's like, all right, where, let's do it.
Not dropping any names, but, yeah, shout out to the hippie guru, homie. Grows that organic vegan shit.
And if I'm gonna be completely honest, I don't even know what's in this glass here. I'll take a sip.
I think it's that gin.
No, it's not that. It's that Ford's gin. Ford's gin is much more subtle. This here couch and gin is a very distinct taste, man. It tastes like it came from a farm. It's very, very herby.
Alright, well, I'm gonna hit this white cookie while you tell me a bit about FCP and what you've done with that. Like, it was like a Fernwood group thing, and now it's like a lifestyle. So you just break down what FCP, Filthy Clean Pros, and Filthy Clean is to you.
All right, man, I'm gonna do this real quick. All right, so Filthy Clean, I had this page full of, when I was probably about 15, full of just different shit that I would name an album, and one of them was Filthy Clean. One night, man, we all lit up in the wood, and we mob back to my pad. It's me, Fo, and YTD, and we working on this track, and we're like, what are we gonna call this shit? And it was like basically two sections. We each spat two verses, and I had this like mad grimy synth bass, and then there was this like super clean, like Rhodesy shit popping off for the second verse. And I was like, man, that's like filthy and clean. I was like, we should call this motherfucker Filthy Clean. So we did this song called Filthy Clean, and we each wrote our own interpretation on what Filthy Clean meant to us. And you know, that song was pretty popular around the wood and shit. You know, people was like, Filthy Clean, Filthy Clean. And then it was like a couple months later, I went and like got Filthy Clean done as a business and shit, and it was Filthy Clean Productions. And when I told Fo and YD, I was like, man, I got to check out these papers, man. I got these papers. And they're like, oh, that's real official. And so then from there, it
is that
grew.
That business license over your shoulder?
Yeah, that's what that
get
is.
A picture of it for the fans.
So then, from there, I'm like, man, we just all just riding cloud nine and shit. Like, yeah, we making this shit pop. So it's like, I was the first person to put them on a real microphone. A lot of people's first times on a real mic in a real studio was at my motherfucking spot in either the L room or the Guap room. And, but anyways, so I got Filthy Clean Productions popping off, and from there it just turned into like a lifestyle. It was like, man, just like, I was filthy as fuck, man. I was a grimy ass nigga, man, and Fo was always fucking dipped, man. He just fucking shaved his head and toe all the time. It was just like I was filthy, he was clean. And it was like he would used to say, my mind is so filthy, but I look so clean. And it was just a lifestyle of, like, you know, being you front. When I got the symbol made up, you know, it's a pimp hopping out of a fucking sewer drain. People are like, oh, it's kind of stupid. But man, it's a metaphor. And what it means is being fresh from the gutter. You know, it's like you can come from a dirty place, you can still be clean as fuck. And it eventually grew into what it means now. It's a transition, man, from living that filthy life into living a clean life. And all it's something we can strive for. All we ever do and all we will ever do until we finally get there is we will be constantly fighting that struggle from filthy to clean. I mean, we from that exact same struggle, man. I mean, we met each other on that motherfucking tip, man. It was, you know, there was nothing clean about when I met you.
Warrants for my arrest and shit crashing on the floor in your basement.
Yeah, man, I mean, I ain't fucking... Man.
We vacated those since. We're not on the run anymore.
Psychedelic times, man. I mean, I ain't even fuck with the shit I was fucking with then, man, for like 10 years, man, just because it was like, man, keeping it way too lit out here. Like, the littest to the fullest, man. They're just fucking blowing plugs on this motherfucking shit. And, you know, that was real times.
You remember cracking Izzy?
I do. That was a trip that day, man. Shit.
Because I had you on the phone.
That was like, probably a page. You probably paged me, man, back in them days.
Yeah, you had a pager.
Yeah.
And then you hit me back on the cell. Yeah, and yeah. I told you that I was out in Sydney. And within, like, the first 30 seconds of saying that, you were, like, you were snoring. You were like, if it's not in Fernwood, you can fuck right off.
True that.
And I was like, I'm popping the cork at a bottle of Heem. VSOP, are you coming? And you stopped. It was about 10... maybe 15 seconds, and then you were, which bus do I need to be on, and where do I get off?
Yeah.
That was it. You hung up the phone, you were out there.
That was a good day, man. That was a life-changing day, man. The first day I ever sipped some Henny, man.
Life-changing. Shit. It was a trip.
Yeah.
It was
a good trip.
The guys from,
man,
North Carolina.
Yeah, fools from North Carolina, man. We mobbed all the way back to the hood to get them some of that Kelly Kill Kill.
You were legit concerned that they were Klansmen. You know it went through your head at least once or twice.
Nah. No chance, man. Nigga Double R ain't worried about shit, bruh.
It was sketchy. They had a Jeep. It had, like, pickaxes and shovels and axes all, like, mounted to the side.
It's just working boys, man. Shit.
No, they were, like, North Carolina country boys. But they had, like, the tools mounted to the
side
of the truck.
They also had Double R and the homie Tony Huss, man. Hanging out the back of the Jeep with a bottle of Henny down the highway, keeping it mad lit for the motherfuckers on their way to get the motherfucking kill. Yeah. They were keeping it lit.
They left, they knew what was up. So, since we scrapped the interview and then the homie Aunt Fro came through, you basically said that you've got 3, 4, 5 more artists with the whole Filthy Clean?
Yeah, I mean, them ain't specifically my artists, but man, those cats I fuck with heavily, and that's Anfo, YTD, Oh So Smooth, Gorilla. That's the team right there, man.
Ideals?
Yeah, man. Ideals is, man, responsible for a lot of the shit that we do in these days, but he is, you know, man, there's so many people affiliated with this Filthy Clean shit, man. I mean, you affiliated with this Filthy Clean shit. The partner JD is affiliated with this motherfucking Filthy Clean shit. Man, too many cats out there, man, have been supporting this movement since day one. And it's about time that we really start pushing it. I mean, man, Mules is coming with it, man. And, you know, we're fooling with that partner heavy.
The homie Mules is actually coming through to do the cover art for the actual podcast.
Or yeah, I was chopping that the other night with him, man. Me, Mules, and Foe got some shit coming, man. I mean, they already dropped their motherfucking mixtape, man. The Ryan Gosling mixtape. Man, if you ain't know, Mule coming with it. But aside from that, we got some more shit in the works for, man. It's gonna pop for real.
Defects and a few of the other local graph heads are supposed to come through and throw up a cover page, but Mule's the only one that's actually working on it. Says he's gonna have it in the next 48-72 hours, so look for that.
That's the homie from way back.
Yeah, he threw it up on a friggin' canvas and he's gonna mail it to me.
Yeah, man, yo, I seen this dude do the craziest motherfucking graph piece, man, I had ever seen in my life, man, on my, fuck. I don't know, it was my 20-something birthday. 25th, it was the 25th. Damn, I'm that old. Shit. So on my 25th birthday, man, this guy's like, yo, I'm gonna do you a piece. And he, like, does the outline. And he is, like, 40 fucking feet long, at least, on this fucking wall, just on the outline. And then he, like, steps back and he looks at it and he's like, oh shit, I don't know if I have enough paint. And he, like, literally, oh man, he squeezes the last drop out of the paint on this just fucking huge Stewie Ignat piece, man. Oh, Mules is the cutty for real.
I actually seen pictures of that. We can attach them to this interview.
Word.
So I'm actually the admin of two Facebook pages. One's Young Dre, and the first episode, and the other is Namilla. Spitta Jones is his Facebook account. You're doing a video with him in A-Town?
Yeah, man, I shot that shit up. Man, it came funky fresh on the joint. I came funky fresh on the joint. Folk coming funky fresh on the joint. It's going to be real dope. And, you know, the people going get to see them visuals real soon. And you know, aside from that, you know, we working with hella folks.
It's crazy the way they're all connected like that on the West Coast.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's tight knit out here, man. It's gotta be tight knit if you ever wanna, you know, put it out there, man, or else your shit gonna fall apart.
You're in a video with is that Snow?
Yeah, man, that shit just dropped a couple days ago. That was a real lit day for the Filthy Clean Pros and everybody involved, man. I mean, that was like, you know, YTD coming back after a year and shit. And Zess was like, yo, let's do this video. And fuck, he kept it lit for over 24 on the ass, man. Damn near 48 on the ass, man. That was just a lit motherfucking Friday, man. That's one of them 48-hour Fridays. Start to finish.
No bullshit, as a youngster, like a 13, 14 year old, the first hip hop show I ever went to was Zaznamas at Fernwood Community Center there.
Oh, yeah.
In the gym on the inside.
Yeah, that was the court though.
Yeah. And seeing you go from the little homie who wrote those raps and spit those bars to you actually got down with the big homie who, he's dropping music.
Yeah, man, that's that wild-ass nigga, weird-ass nigga, man. That's the big homie Zess, bruh. I mean, that's Fernwood shit through and through, man. All we do is knock on the ass, man. Shit.
So do you intend to drop any tracks with him?
Shit, man. I mean, we always send this shit back and forth. It is yet to materialize, but it's definitely gonna be coming, man. He's got shit with Foe. This finna pop, but, yeah, man. Whether or not that track pops, man, it's all fam, it's all love, it's a Fernwood thing.
So what are the soldiers actively working on right now?
Man, just mainly I have a vision to just build the brand of Filthy Clean, and I just want everybody's you know, faces and skills to be known, names to be known, cause you know, we gonna keep it real lit for this Northwest, you know what I'm saying?
As far as shows goes, that's where you're really putting a lot of your energy into.
Yeah, I mean, we just really just do what we've been doing, man. I mean, we've been keeping this music shit lit since long before we was keeping this music shit lit for crowds, man. I mean, we was doing this just because we was lit and we wanted to put that moment in still time, you know, so we can go back there and just trip the fuck out. And now that we can create them moments with the people out there, you know, it's really on, it's really popping, man, because we can showcase our newest shit and, you know, just see how the people feel. Like, it's always better when you go to a show and you know the words, but I mean, it feels real good to be an artist and be out there and just, you know, showcase the newest shit from last week and just see how the people feel about it, you know? That ain't how they feel about it when they in whatever mood they in, when they sitting on their computer and they click play on the shit, you know, if they at a show and they just really, you know, keeping it lit for themselves, you know, how do people react to the shit is how do people react to the shit.
So how many shows you open for now?
I would say about 20, somewhere about that, you know, nothing too major. It's been a learning process, man. As with anything, if you do anything 20 times, you're going to learn a hell of a lot. And we're just trying to really do this shit.
The fucking vaporizer is delicious.
Yeah, man, that's that. Volcano. Volcanic ash, man. White ash, man. Only white ash. If it ain't white ash, we ain't fucking with it.
With that white cookie.
No pussy face.
The shirt there.
Oh, that shirt, man? Shit, that's a filthy clean pro shirt, man. They can have that. Let them have it.
Okay, so what we'll do is the same deal that we had with Aunt Fo, except instead of a beat, when this post that comes out with this podcast episode gets 100 likes on it, we'll just take the list of names that liked it, and we'll raffle off one out of 100 names to get this signed filthy clean t-shirt by Stewie Ignat and Anfo.
Yeah, though. Let's do it.
So share this and like this post, and yeah, when it hits 100, we'll pass that out.
Receive the goods. Do what you need to do to receive the goods.
Okay, fuck. Looking at the time here, we've kind of gone a little extra with this. Not that we've rambled or anything. We've covered everything we needed to, but this was some brick that needed to get broken down.
Yeah, though.
Yeah.
Still many chunks left, my dear.
Oh, we'll definitely do another one or two re-ups. And we've taken the Filthy Clean General, had him on the show, brought him through for everything we could chop up as far as a brick goes, and now we're going to have to go into the show where we plug people or shout out to people who have a serious involvement in the piff you're creating.
Shit, man, I mean, there's so many people involved that I'm gonna forget somebody. But man, I just gotta say, keep it lit, man, to all the Filthy Clean pros. Man, that's everybody who affiliated with the shit, man. The dude Tony Huss, man, he's in there, man. FCP, bruh.
Alright, I think that pretty much wraps us up for chopping up the brick.
For this episode anyways, man. Shit.
Oh, we definitely have more to come.
More to chop.
So till then, keep it 100.